Life happens, change happens. I can't control all of it, but I can definitely influence it. I can shape it. So I have to take the mindset that I have agency over some of what's going on. I can make decisions. Just because whatever happened isn't a good thing, doesn't mean it isn't a growth thing.
Welcome to Better Conversations, Better Outcomes, presented by BMO Global Asset Management. I'm Ben Jones.
And I'm Emily Larson. On this show, we explore the world of wealth advising from every angle, providing actionable ideas designed to improve outcomes for advisors and their clients.
The views expressed here are those of the participants and not those of BMO Global Asset Management, its affiliates, or subsidiaries.
Today, we're excited to welcome Ross Marino, the CEO of Transitus Wealth Partners and Advisor 2X. Ross has a lot of experience with change, and he and his co-author, Susan Bradley, decided to share their knowledge by writing a new book on the topic. The book title is Shaping Change: How to Respond When Life Disrupts Your Retirement Plan. Ross specifically chose to focus on the topic of change relative to the retirement plan because oftentimes advisors build the deepest relationships with their clients around big life transitions like retirement. Without further ado, I'll let Ben introduce Ross.
You know, I got to say, I've had the distinct pleasure of knowing you now more than a decade, if you can believe that. And, you know, I feel like, you know, every time we have a conversation, we kind of feed off each other's. And it's like a rapid fire book club is what it really ends up being. Now, I am curious. I do want to build a little bit of your credibility and credentials on this topic, because many people might look at all of your alphabet soup behind your name and say, well, he's well credentialed. But actually, you started your financial practice with a little bit of a change of plans. So maybe if you'd be willing, you share a little bit of kind of your personal history with, you know, having life happen and altering and adapting your plans.
I can say that throughout my professional career, my adult life, I've made plans. Most of them weren't even remotely close to what happened. Life happened. My plans changed. I became a broker at age 21. By age 26, I realized time to be a financial planner. I wanted to provide more holistic financial planning. My wife and I moved to Wilmington, North Carolina, so I could open up a financial planning practice and begin the CFP program. Within 30 days, I had an injury, and I ended up on my back for the next 6 years working in a room over my garage, trying to build a financial planning practice in a town where I didn't know anybody. So all the plans I had to actually build this practice, go to this town, go out and meet people, have lunch, play golf, all these other wonderful things, none of that happened. I was stuck in the room, couldn't sit, couldn't stand for long. Quite a challenge to actually build a practice in that environment. Then as time went on, finally got out of my house, got an office, thought, okay, life's settling down a little bit. I made some plans of what I wanted to do. My wife and I adopted a couple of girls, and the youngest one turned out to be special needs. We didn't know that at the time, but within about 12 months, it was pretty apparent that there were some significant needs there, and we didn't really know what they were and what we were going to do about them. So we had to go down that road of now becoming a parent to a special needs child. Whatever family plans you had, you're going to have to scrap a lot of them because you're trying to figure out what to do. It was a challenging time. It was a stressful time. So stressful, in fact, that my wife ended up becoming ill from the stress and some of the other situations around it. She became bedridden mostly for about 10 years. So I found myself in the middle of being like a single parent to a special needs child and a caregiver to a disabled wife, all the while trying to build a practice and build a business. Now, in the middle of this, of course, I'm a financial planner. So how do I make plans long-term? I don't. I'm just trying to make it through the day and trying to figure out what I need to do. So while I had training as a financial planner, life kept throwing me curveballs and I had to figure out what do we do next. And it really helps you focus and prioritize.
Yeah, no, I mean, I just want to emphasize a point because many of us started in this business a long time ago. And if you can imagine trying to build a practice when you're not allowed to meet with anyone, you can't leave the house, and in your case, literally build a practice lying down, it's really impressive. And so I'm really excited today to cover the topic of your book, which is called Shaping Change: How to Respond When Life Disrupts Your Retirement Plan. I'm curious, like, why do you believe that this topic is so important? And I would say, important enough to write a book, which is not an easy thing to do.
What I noticed, Ben, is that the most impactful financial decisions that someone makes often come around some type of life event or transition. Those are the big decisions, 3 to 5 big decisions over the course of your life that really influence your net worth and your outcome the most. But here's the trick. Not only are those the most impactful decisions, it comes at a time when it's hardest to make decisions. There's some type of life event where it's stressful. Maybe you're excited because it's a windfall or sudden money, or maybe there's a catastrophic loss, a death in the family, or you lose a job. Whatever end of the spectrum it is, the more dramatic the life change, the more impactful the financial decisions are. And like any financial planner out there, I've watched over the years, people make certain decisions during these life events that to everybody around them, myself, their friends, and you would think anybody else, the decision this person is making is absolutely the wrong decision. They make it anyway. We've watched that. It's frustrating. And we think, why are these people doing that? I had to figure it out. Once you figure it out, it's because we struggle with making decisions when we're emotionally charged, when life happens and plans change. Once you understand that, now you have to learn how to meet people where they're at. That's the focus of our practice, and that's the topic of the book.
You know, it's great. I mean, often on this show, we say that, you know, some of the most value that financial advisors can add is at that intersection of money and life. And I think you would agree with that based upon the statement that you just made. What I would love to know, though, is the book is titled Shaping Change, not adapting to it, not creating optionality, but actually taking what has happened to you and shaping the path that you want to move forward. Tell me what's different about shaping change versus, say, adapting or reacting to change.
Yeah, the reacting tends to be more of a knee jerk where something happens and we think, oh no, I've got to do this. Or the being passive would be floating down a river where you're in an inner tube and what happens, happens. And I've done that. We've been in lazy rivers. You kind of bounce off the walls. Maybe you push a little bit with your toe, but am I really changing direction? Am I really doing anything? Nope. That's not how we're going to go through life. So when we go through a massive change or a massive transition, we could just sit back and say, well, we'll just see what happens and life happens and I don't have control over this. I'm a victim. I didn't do this to myself, or maybe I did, but that's just the way life goes. That attitude is probably going to limit your ability to make good decisions. When we go through life, life happens, change happens. I can't control all of it, but I can definitely influence it. I can shape it. So I have to take the mindset that I have agency over some of what's going on. I can make decisions. Just because whatever happened isn't a good thing doesn't mean it isn't a growth thing. And regardless of what I go through in life, I want to take the mindset that I'm going to grow from this. I'm going to mature from this. It may be a catastrophic loss where it's going to take years for me to work through it. And that's okay if it takes years, but I still have the ability, I have that agency to say, I can drive some of this. I can shape this. I can grow. I can use this for a positive.
Throughout my life, I've experienced periods of discomfort, which have also coincidentally been periods of tremendous personal growth. When we are pushed outside of our comfort zone, often we find what we are truly capable of, and we gain valuable wisdom along the way. But let's narrow our focus a little bit and discuss how unexpected life events can influence financial planning. I'm curious, you know, given that your book is about kind of shaping change when life happens, you know, to your retirement plans, what are some of the most common examples that you've seen with clients related to life happening as they approach or you know, kind of change their retirement plans?
Boy, we could list off a bunch of events. We'll just take one. So let's say someone loses a spouse. You're a widow. This is a common situation that financial planners go through. It also highlights the intersection of financial planning and behavior modification. Someone becomes a widow. Sometimes their first instinct is, I want to pay off the mortgage. I want to get out of debt. Financial advisors hear that all the time. So someone will come in and say, I want to pay off my mortgage. I want to be debt-free. They're disruptive. I'd probably say that's the most common statement I get from people when they go through that type of situation. They want to be debt-free. We understand that that's not a financial decision. We may incorrectly say, well, you know, your mortgage only costs you 3% per year. Right? Silly. How many times does that come out of my mouth? More times than I'll ever admit on camera. But we do that because our brain defaults. But this isn't an investment question. This isn't a math question. It's not a tax rate question. When someone says, I want to pay off all my debts, there's a feeling behind that. There's an emotion behind that. We can look at the financial aspect. And yes, we have to understand that because we're financial planners, but we have to integrate the personal side. We have to understand why someone wants to do that. And in many cases, we just want to delay them making a decision that would be irrevocable. Yes, I know you want to pay off your mortgage tomorrow. Hopefully we can wait a few months and maybe address it later. Because if you take money out of a retirement account, for example, and pay tax and then pay off your mortgage, I can't really unwind that. That's an irrevocable decision driven by emotion that if we can, as financial planners, we'd like to avoid if that's what's appropriate for the person.
So if advisors out there are listening to you, what I'm hearing is that you need to deal with the most immediate decisions that need attention today, and then not be dismissive of people's, you know, desires or feelings for the future, but wait until they're in a better state of mind to make the right decision for them and understand potential ramifications of those decisions.
It's an excellent way to say that. Our top protocol that we use as transitionists, or I should say my favorite, is called the decision-free zone. And what it does is allow people the freedom to say, I don't have to make a decision on that right now. And we break this down into three parts. The first is going to be, what do I need to do now? And that would be simply something that is important and urgent. If we use the case of a widow, there's going to be legal issues and financial issues that must be dealt with now. And by now, it may mean within a week or 2 weeks or maybe 3 weeks. I've literally had a client call within hours of their spouse passing away and saying, okay, I know I got to do stuff. What do I got to do? And I know this particular lady, well, tough Italian lady. I said, well, first you can just take a deep breath. It's cool. Thank you for calling. We'll talk in a few weeks. It literally had been 3 hours. She's like, you're sure? You're okay. I'm like, it's great. Way to go after it. However, we need to take a break here. So you want to identify, what do we need to do now? Then you talk about things that are soon. Things that you know need to be addressed. They might be a month or two from now, but we're going to get to them. Everything else we want to put in what we call later. And that means we don't need to make that decision right now, or we don't have enough information to really make that decision. So we're going to put that off. I'm not saying it's not important. I'm not saying it isn't a good thought or something we should consider down the road or not, but we can't really address it right now. It's not important and urgent. So let's just put that in the later bucket and maybe we'll talk about it down the road. And by helping people prioritize with now, soon, and later, they get things done that need to get done, but it also takes the pressure off of this long list of what I need to do because something catastrophic just happened.
I think that makes a lot of sense. It strikes me just in my observations that many of the things that kind of disrupt retirement plans for individuals happen to be at that intersection of health and wealth. And, you know, I've seen that with people being forced into retirement early due to a health situation, death of a spouse, a loved one, even death of a child. And so it does seem like that is one big area that advisors should be prepared to help clients navigate through when the time's right. I do want to touch on and maybe circle back to, you mentioned that there's 3 to 5 decisions in life that kind of generate the most good outcomes, if you will. And I'm curious from your perspective, what are those kind of 3 to 5 big decisions that you see at Transitus?
Well, we'll just take some examples and we'll keep them generic just to show the gravity of making the right decision. When was your first real job, Ben? How old were you when you got a real job corporation?
Corporate job?
Yes.
Boy, I'm 19.
Okay. How about when was the first time you had access to a 401k?
27.
27, straight commission guy. Got it. Okay. So, so at age 27, you can start investing in the 401k and continue investing for years, or you can wait till age 37 or 47. What's your life look like if you don't do it at age 27 versus waiting to age 37 or 47?
Oh, I mean, the impact is huge. I mean, you almost have to save double just by waiting 10 years.
Right. We know the cost of waiting. There's a simple decision. You got a new job. You're about to get a paycheck. You don't have all the bills yet. You can carve out 10%, let's say, to save for retirement. The people who did that early on in their careers, in general, they're in great shape well down the road. The people who didn't do that, there's no way to get that back. So there's one major decision. That would be the first one. The second one, common, simple, we all see it. You're saving for retirement, the markets go down 30 or 40%, and you have the people who are sensitive and just can't take it anymore. And they pull out of the markets and they say, well, when things settle down, I'll get back in. Boy, you can do a whole show on that. We don't need to. There's one of those top three, four, five decisions that changed your net worth dramatically, and you can't get it back, Ben. So those are the situations that something happened in life, something traumatic was going on or emotional, you made a financial decision, and it moved the needle on your net worth long term.
The concept of the decision-free zone is important. It's quite a powerful tool for guiding clients away from making choices in the heat of the moment that they might regret later. Ross also has a series of four questions to ask before taking another step.
One of the things that caught my attention was that you have a very deliberate four-step process for dealing with transitions and when life happens. Would you mind sharing for advisors listening?
Certainly. Let's list off the four steps and then I'll unpack each one of them. Mind you, this is what you do when a client or a prospect calls in, which we get the calls all the time, or you may have a regular quarterly update with your client and you pick up the phone and someone says, okay, something's going on here. So here's the questions you use to try to figure out what's going on. Question number one, it's that easy. What's going on? We want to know the event that's happening. Question two, how did you get here? Two parts to that. I'll go over that in a moment. Question three and question four, I deliver together. What are you thinking? And how are you feeling? And I do those together. So now let's go back and unpack each one. What's going on could simply be an event. I'm going to be retiring within 60 days. Something happened. What's going on? Okay. Or someone just simply says, retirement's about to happen. Well, as a financial planner, I may instinctively say, congratulations, you get to retire. That could be a cool thing until I say, how did you get here? Well, the person may not want to retire. Maybe there's a health situation with their spouse and they're now forced to retire. Maybe their business was sold and they got downsized. And they're thinking, at my age, I can't replace my income. I might as well just take retirement. So we may think retirement is exciting, but whatever the event is, there's a story behind it. What led up to this? How did you get here? So before I say congratulations, I want to say, okay, so you're retiring. So how'd that come about? I need to know how you got here. And as that conversation develops, if it's appropriate, I'm going to even go back to childhood and say, you know, what are your money memories that you first had there? What's your story? How did you get to this point? Because in order for me to have insight into question three and four, what they're thinking and how they're feeling, I need to know their story. Because this conversation isn't purely financial, it's personal. There's two sides to financial planning, the technical side, the personal side. They're like two sides of a coin, Ben. They're connected. They're equally important. You can't address one without the other, in my opinion. So what's going on? How did you get there? Once I understand that, then this is where the magic of financial planning happens. Once I feel that I really understand where they're at and the events that led up to it and some of their history, I now say three and four and I put them together. I say, okay, thanks for sharing all that. I do appreciate that. So what are you thinking right now? I mean, how are you feeling about everything? And I stop. They just start talking when that happens. And that's when I take notes. If I just say, what are you thinking? They're going to list off financial decisions. Well, I'm thinking maybe I should downsize my house, or maybe I should liquidate this, or should I pull back on that? I'm thinking if I take some money out of X, I can put it in my checking account because I'm a little nervous since we were just downsized. There's all these financial decisions that are running through their head, thoughts and ideas, and they're just thinking about it. They're not sure what to do. But if I connect it with how are you feeling, now they tell me why they're thinking that. And now we're actually able to make some progress. So what are you thinking? How are you feeling about everything? That's when people open up and I can be in a better position to help them.
How are you feeling?
This is one of those powerful questions that you can ask to better understand the mindset of your clients. It's often those feelings that drive meaningful decisions, and it's also important to connect the dots between personal and financial. So on the topic of decision-making, let's return to Ross's personal story. While writing the book Shaping Change, life happened yet again for Ross and his family, and the experience gave him greater insight into how people in a crisis perceive decisions.
My youngest daughter, who has some special needs, she was in the process of being diagnosed with autism or being on the spectrum, as they call it. And there was a lot of work that went into figuring out what the best path for her would be. So it was a pretty intense year going into that. Once we had that settled, I was now able to buckle down and kind of finish the book. Got the manuscript. It was all done. Susan Bradley and I had put in who knows how many hours on it. We were exciting. The final manuscript is literally in my inbox, my email inbox. All I have to do is reply and say approve. And that was on a Tuesday morning. Tuesday evening, I thought I'd be able to tell my wife, hey, guess what? I sent in approve. I'm done. Everything's done. We're going to have a book in 30 days. Instead of having that conversation, I'm getting prepared to follow an ambulance to the hospital because she just had a heart attack. I didn't know if she was going to come home from the hospital. I didn't know what was going to happen. The book goes on hold. So instead of getting excited about, we finally cranked this book out, I'm sitting in the cardiac ICU wondering if I'm going to have to come home and tell my kids, mommy isn't coming home. That's intense. So whatever I was thinking about at the time, all of a sudden, I don't care, Ben. Book, don't care. Work, I'll be back next week or the week after, not really sure. And in the middle of that, I once again experienced the fog that comes when you're in a major life event or transition. I don't remember doing certain things that I did, that I was trying to take care of things, and then you can't recall it. You don't know what happened. There's conversations that you have, and you don't even recall the conversations. I went through that. So you do the DFC, the decision-free zone. What's important? What's urgent? What do I have to take care of? Push everything else off down the road. But here's the big takeaway, Ben, for this. And this was a great reminder for me. I had conversations that I couldn't recall. We have clients that call into us in these life events while they're happening. We ask them how they're doing and they say, I'm doing okay. I'm getting by. It's kind of rough. And then we have a conversation with them thinking they're actually present. They're not. When you're in this type of transition, it's hard to process or even remember anything. How many conversations have I had as a financial planner over the years that had absolutely zero value? Meaning the client was not processing it. I thought maybe we were just handling a couple things a little quickly or having a conversation, but not recognizing what traumatic life events do to you. All planners have done it. I've done it who knows how many times. I probably wouldn't want to know how many times. I'd rather just fix it and move forward. But I lived it myself. And what a great reminder when you're putting out the book that this is what happens when life happens and plans change. Figure out what's important and urgent. Shove everything else off down the road because your capacity is limited.
You know, it's so interesting. I mean, my family, my wife and I, our daughter had a seizure last year that was pretty severe. And it's amazing how busy you are and how many things you have going on at work and everything. And when something like that happens or like happened to your wife, I think of it as a clarifying moment. All of a sudden, it's really clear to you what matters. And none of the things you thought mattered 10 minutes ago mattered. So I got to tell you, I think that that's a really important thing for advisors to focus on is, you know, if you're in that situation, are you in the right frame of mind to make decisions? Probably not. And I love the concept of decision-free zone. So I really appreciate you sharing that. You have a couple other takeaways in the book. I won't make you go through all of them. There are a lot. And so people have to buy the book to get the full list. But if you wouldn't mind, I think one of the things I'd love to talk about that we haven't talked about is the ripple effect. Tell me a little bit about the ripple effect.
The ripple effect is so important. No event or no major decision I make happens in isolation. So we'll go with an event with my wife. My wife has a heart attack. She's heading to the hospital, to the ICU. I'm the one close to her. I'm her husband. My world changes on the spot. My oldest daughter was home at the time. She's the one who called me. I was a few minutes away. I was actually on a tennis court. My daughter calls. Something's wrong with mommy. You need to come home. Life changes. It hits her. Her day's now disrupted. So the next day, she's not going to school. I'm not going to work. That is the ripple effect. The closer you are to that event, the more dramatic the change is going to be to me. But then all of a sudden, the friends are calling, the other family members are calling, people from the office are calling. Everybody else is impacted or influenced in some way. The closer you are to that event, the more influenced you are. I think as people age, they understand that if your spouse has significant health issues, you become the caregiver and you learn that that is traumatic and stressful in and of itself. We learn that, but it also extends out. So just recognizing that nothing is in isolation. If I make a major decision that impacts my life, there's a ripple effect to people around me. If something traumatic or dramatic happens to me in my life, there's going to be a ripple effect around me. And the people closest to me, they're the ones who are going to be influenced the most.
Keeping in mind the ripple effect is yet another integral part of learning how to shape change in your own practice. Even if your client isn't the person who's directly experiencing the transition, they might be close to someone who is.
I want to thank Ross for coming on the show today and sharing some of his personal experiences as well as actionable advice from his new book. Ross has been a personal friend and knowledge partner to me over the years, and I was really excited to share his story with you. Now, we're going to include links to his website and, of course, his new podcast in the show notes, so be sure to check those out. But before we go, I had one final question for Ross, and I'll leave him with the final word.
What's some of the advice or actionable ways that you think advisors could do better at helping their clients navigate change, create optionality, and make better decisions?
I think right off the bat, we have to be a safe place, right? I'm not a counselor. I'm not a therapist. When life gets disrupted, I can ask you, what are you thinking and how are you feeling? I think those two questions are critical. And the primary reason is, if something crazy or disruptive is going on in someone's life, the people who care about them and the people who love them are asking them those questions. So they're being asked those questions. So don't be afraid to ask that. You think, oh, maybe they don't want to talk about it. They may not want to talk about it, but they're okay being asked about it, because that's what people do when you're going through something like that. So I think the first part is to just know, you have to create a safe space and say, what are you thinking? What are you feeling? Be okay to ask that. That's round one. The second part of that is, you don't have to do any action unless you think it's really urgent. That person is not in a situation or not in a position to make long-term financial decisions or to even think through things and try to figure out what's best. So the first being, make sure you ask. And the second being, don't be so quick to actually move to action and say, okay, let's get this done. They may even want to do action. And I'll bring up one concept here. I remember learning about fight versus flight, how people respond to traumatic events or change, right? Some people fight, they want to attack, give me the to-do list, I'm knocking this stuff out. Other people are flight. Where's the beanbag? I need my iPad. I'm going to binge watch. I don't actually care what I'm watching. I'm just binge watching, right? So sometimes you curl up in a ball. We may think that the fight person is doing better. In reality, they're not. They're just reacting the way they think they need to. I lost control. My life is getting disrupted. I'm going to take control back, Ben. Here's my to-do list, 10 things. I'm knocking them out. That isn't necessarily the best way to approach it. We want to help people thoughtfully respond to what's going on in their lives. So we don't need to encourage action. And in some cases, we need to tell people, slow down. You don't have to do that today. There's plenty of time. Be careful of the fight response. Be careful of the flight response, and just help people take their time.
Tell me, you've built some really successful businesses, as you know, even through these changes and these periods of life happening for you. If you wouldn't mind, just for the advisors listening, maybe you could describe a little bit about your practice today and about the success of Advisor 2X. And then tell me a little bit about some of the secret sauce. Like, how have you been able to just push through and adapt and shape that change that you wanted yourself?
I think one of the benefits of having those kind of limitations is that you have to rely on people around you. You have to be ultra focused and efficient. So you have to learn how to leverage technology. You have to learn how to work with partners and build a team and work with a team. So in many ways, it's a better position to build a business because you really have to figure out what needs to be done. And I can only do so much of it. So that certainly helps. With the practice today, I basically engage clients and I work with certain clients. We have a team that works with clients once they're onboarded. I don't take that many new clients at this point in time. But when people come to us, they're normally coming because something happened in life. Those are the people that come to us. And for most financial planners, that's how we get clients anyway. It's life events. It's some type of transition. The other business is Advisor 2X. And that's where we do conferences. And we have a couple of podcasts or shows that we do that really follow one major trend. And to me, that trend that I think is shaping our industry is situational financial planning. And what that means is the same thing, life event driven financial planning. It's called by many different names out there. On the corporate side, this comes through the 401k advisor and the record keepers who are building plans and programs to meet people, not just at a point where they can save for retirement, but to go beyond that for financial wellness and student loan help and budgeting. And that's what they do through the employer-sponsored plan market. On the personal side, it's also situational financial planning. Yes, we'd love to do a big financial plan for everybody and analyze absolutely everything and get organized. But when people come to you in some type of crisis mode, they really don't have the capacity to do that, Ben. So you work with them where they're at, you deal with the life event, you help them go through that. Once again, that's situational financial planning. So at Advisor 2X, we have two main conferences and two main shows, and they're both helping people deal with situational financial planning.
Thank you for listening to Better Conversations, Better Outcomes. This podcast is presented by BMO Global Asset Management. To access the resources discussed in today's show, please visit us at www.bmogam.com/better conversations.
We love feedback and would love to hear what you thought about today's episode. You can send an email to betterconversations@bmo.com.
And we really respond.
We do.
If you thought of someone during today's episode, we would be flattered if you would take a moment and share this podcast with them. You can listen and subscribe to our show on Apple Podcasts or whatever your favorite podcast platform is. And, of course, we would greatly appreciate it if you would take a moment to review us on that app. Our podcast and resources are supported by a very talented team of dedicated professionals at BMO, including Pat Bordak, Derek Devereaux. The show is edited and produced by Jonah Kyle Newfield and Sam Piers-Nitzberg of Puddle Creative. These are the real people that make this show happen. So thank you, and until next time, I'm Ben Jones.
And I'm Emily Larson, from all of us at BMO Global Asset Management, hoping you have a productive and wonderful week.
The views expressed here are those of the participants and not those of BMO Global Asset Management, its affiliates, or subsidiaries. This is not intended to serve as a complete analysis of every material fact regarding any company, industry, strategy, or security. This presentation may contain forward-looking statements. Investors are cautioned not to place undue reliance on such statements as actual results could vary. This presentation is for general information purposes only and does not constitute investment, legal, or tax advice and is not intended as an endorsement of any specific investment product, security, or service. Individual investors are to consult with an investment, legal, and/or tax professional about their personal situation. Past performance is not indicative of future results. BMO Global Asset Management is the brand name for various affiliated entities of BMO Financial Group that provide investment management and trust and custody services. BMO Financial Group is a service mark of Bank of Montreal. Further information can be found at www.bmogam.com.